Reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let's listen to the Word of God. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. Years ago, the Reverend Curtis Fussell told about a mother who took her three little daughters to do some Christmas shopping. And while they were at the mall, they had a chance to visit with Santa Claus. And each one of them told Santa what they wanted for Christmas. And when they were finished, Santa Claus said, "On Christmas morning, after you've opened up all of your presents, I would like for you to sing 'Happy Birthday.'" Now, the girls were just a little bit surprised, and they said, "But we don't know anyone whose birthday is on Christmas." And Mom, who was standing right there and listening into the conversation, was just a little bit embarrassed. She said, "Come on now, whose birthday is on Christmas?" And one of the little girls suddenly exclaimed, "Christmas is Jesus' birthday." "That's right," Santa Claus said. "And so on Christmas Day, I want you to sing 'Happy Birthday' to Jesus." Well, a few days later, the two younger sisters went to another mall to do some Christmas shopping, and they had the chance to see Santa Claus again. And when they got home, they told Big Sister about it. And Big Sister asked, "Was it the real Santa Claus?" Mom was standing right there again, listening into the conversation. And she said, "How do you know if it's the real Santa Claus?" "The real Santa Claus," the older daughter said, "tells you to sing 'Happy Birthday' to Jesus." All right, so on the second Sunday of Advent, as we continue to prepare ourselves for one more Christmas this year, we have an opportunity to reflect a little bit on what Christmas is really all about. The Santa Claus and Reverend Fussell story was exactly right. Christmas is the day we celebrate Jesus' birthday. So today we're reflecting on the voice of another person who also had a very clear understanding of what Christmas is all about. And as we listen to that voice, we might have a chance to see just a little bit more clearly what this Christmas or Christmas this year might be like. Before we go any further, let's take just a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Lord and our God, in many different kinds of ways, you have spoken to us throughout our lives. You've most clearly spoken to us through your Son. And this morning we've come to listen to the one who said, "Get ready. Here he comes." As we do listen to that voice today, Lord, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us hearts and minds to understand everything you're saying to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This voice that we are reflecting on this morning is, of course, that of the New Testament figure known as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a different sort of fellow. John did not operate the same way most of the rest of the people of his day operated. John lived a sort of isolated, solitary life, removed from most of the rest of the people of first century Israel. He wore some very strange clothes. He ate really weird food, and he proclaimed a rather unique message. We read a little bit about John right at the start of the sermon this morning from Matthew chapter 3. And it's in this part of his gospel that Matthew tells us that John proclaimed a message of baptism, of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the gospel equates his voice with another voice the prophet Isaiah had talked about centuries before. Isaiah talked about this one who would come to tell God's people to prepare the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, in the Judean wilderness, John's message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins and his telling people to get ready was in preparation for the coming of one who would change the world. That one was, of course, Jesus. Jesus was the one whose shoelaces, John said, he was not even worthy to stoop down and untie. And the message John proclaimed in the Judean wilderness 2,000 years ago still reminds us today of what Christmas is really all about. Okay, John's message tells us and reminds us above and beyond anything else that Christmas is not about us. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about God and what God has done for us. Now, that might seem obvious, but one of the biggest reasons why Christmas is such a downer for so many folks is because of unrealistic expectations. It never really lives up to what we expect it to be. We develop this mental picture of what Christmas ought to be like, and when it doesn't live up to that image in our minds that we have, we get disappointed, we get upset, sometimes we can even get depressed and just go through one more lackadaisical Christmas season. And that's the kind of thing that can happen when we put ourselves at the center of Christmas. If we really listen to the voice crying out in the wilderness, we can truly have a chance to hear that Christmas isn't about us. Christmas isn't about shopping days. Christmas isn't about the economy. Christmas isn't about how many presents you can get. It's not even about how many gifts you can give away. Above and beyond anything else, Christmas is about the Word of God made flesh. So, hear the words of the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight as we turn to Jesus and put Jesus at the center of our lives, at the center of our Christmases. We will start to discover the true miracle of Christmas. In her book, Christmas Memories, Terry Musin tells about a woman named Diane Rayner and her 8-year-old son, Marty. Marty was especially proud as he told his mom that he had been doing extra chores and saving up his allowance so that he could buy a Christmas present for his best friend, Kenny. Now, Diane was touched by her son's generous spirit. She was discovering that Marty was especially kind and giving, and she wondered if maybe his disability had softened his heart just a little bit. You see, Marty was completely deaf in one ear. So on Christmas Eve, Marty took the present he bought for Kenny, and he crawled underneath the electrical fence that separated the Rainer's farm from Kenny's farm. He snuck up on the front porch, he put the gift there, and he rang the doorbell. In his haste to get away without being seen, Marty completely forgot about the electric fence and ran right into it. The jolt from the electric shock knocked him backwards on his back. And that night, as Diane tucked her son into bed, she kind of silently complained to God for allowing her son to get hurt while performing such a generous deed. Well, the next morning on Christmas Day, Marty woke up with a very ugly burn scar on his face. But as Diane watched him playing, she noticed something different about him. He wasn't leaning his head over to one side so that he could hear better. And in just a couple of weeks, a school nurse confirmed that somehow Marty's hearing had been completely restored. Apparently, that jolt from the electric fence had turned out to be a blessing. Yeah. So many of us struggle through the Christmas season. And there are some of us who find it just barely survivable. In the midst of everything that it means to be human, we each have a chance to turn to the Christ child and put him at the center of our lives and of our Christmases. And as we do, we become a part of this thing called the kingdom of heaven. And we had a chance earlier in the service when we read from Isaiah chapter 11 to see a little bit of what that kingdom looks like. Isaiah wrote that prophecy at a time when the Hebrew people needed to be reminded that God had called them to be a blessing to the whole world. Isaiah warned them that their blatant disregard for the poor, their selfishness, their haughty attitudes, their over-the-top national pride and arrogance would ultimately lead to their destruction. Out of that destruction, however, something would come, Isaiah foretold, that would be absolutely beautiful. A shoot, a branch, a twig would grow out of the stump of the destruction. And that one would have such an intimate relationship to God that he would be filled with perfect knowledge and understanding. All of his decisions would be just. His choices would be fair. His greatest delight would be in the law of the Lord. And then in verse 6 of chapter 11, Isaiah starts to paint this vivid word picture of all sorts of different animals living and working and playing together in peace and harmony. In the 18th century artist Edward Hicks took all that imagery from Isaiah chapter 11 and he created a series of paintings that have come to be known as the peaceable kingdom. All these animals dwelling together in peace and harmony. Perhaps you're familiar with some of that work. But most Bible scholars agree that in chapter 11, rather than talking about animals, Isaiah is actually talking about people. See, throughout the centuries in literature and art and poetry, animals have often been used to represent all kinds of different human characteristics. In Isaiah's day, lions were considered to be quick-tempered and willful. Wolves were filled with melancholy. Bears were greedy. Leopards were cheerful. Snakes were tricky. Foxes were sly. And owls were wise. Animals have often been used to describe all sorts of human characteristics, both bad and good. The kingdom of heaven is people. People who have turned to God. People who have put Jesus at the center of their lives. And when Jesus rules your heart, anything can happen. Lion people get along with goat people. Wolf people get along with lamb people. Cow people and bear people eat together. Donkeys and elephants even get along. Okay, that kind of peace happens when you receive the gift of the Prince of peace. When you turn to Jesus, you begin to discover the inspiration and the ability to set aside your own ego and focus on what God wants. Isaiah describes that as the fear of the Lord. But it's not shaking in your boots, not able to do anything. It's awe. It's reverence and wonder and deep, profound respect. It's the incredible silence that engulfs you when you find yourself standing in the incredible, mysterious presence of God. Christmas is not about us. Christmas is about Jesus and the power that Jesus has. Christmas is about the Son of God who chose to come and live among us and to go so far as to give His life for us. When we put Him at the center of our lives, we join with John the Baptist in preparing the way of the Lord. And this Christmas and all our Christmases become a joyful and living celebration of all that God has done. Years ago, this man known as Wayne Long told about this little girl who went with her family to look at all the Christmas decorations that were spread out around the city. And they got to this one church, and they stopped the car, got out so that they could go take a closer look at this magnificent nativity scene. Just look at it, the little girl's grandmother exclaimed. Isn't it gorgeous? Just look at all the animals and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? Yes, it is very nice, the little girl said, but there's one thing I just don't understand. The baby Jesus, is he ever going to grow up? He was that same size last year. Christmas is about remembering the baby Jesus. But it's also about remembering that the baby Jesus grew up to become the man whose shoelaces John the Baptist wasn't even worthy to stoop down and untie. Okay, Jesus, the baby in a manger, the crucified Christ, the risen Lord, the coming King of creation, is what Christmas is all about. And John the Baptist is the voice that will not let us forget that. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, You have set eternity before us. It came long ago as a baby in a manger. He's coming again as the reigning King of all creation. As we wait and watch and hope and pray, we ask, dear God, that You will give us the heart and the will to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives, so that we can share Him with the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.